And welcome to the Odyssey Radio Show. I'm your host, Mike Schultz. We talk about ancient and modern mysteries. Today I have a very exciting guest for you. Her name is Kathy Logan. In 1970, at 19 years old, Kathy Logan began her spiritual enlightenment by learning to work with her guides, teachers, angels, and ascended masters with her mentor. She has a 37-year background in metaphysics. Kathy is an intuitive reader, a spiritual teacher, a healer, a counselor, specializing in natal and spiritual astrology. And so she does tarot readings and Reiki and aura and chakra cleansing and all kinds of things. So welcome to the show, Kathy.
Oh, glad to be here.
Great. So we're going to tell people how they can get in touch with you and all sorts of things up here in the Northwest. But tonight the topic is candle magic. And why don't we start, tell me a little bit about the history of candle magic. Is it a Wiccan tradition? How did it all get started?
Well, candle magic is really very ancient. If you think back in the very beginning when man discovered light and heat and fire, that was magic. And from there, it went on through the ages. It was used in the temples, sacred fires, the sacred flame, like in Ireland, at the for the goddess. They had a sacred flame for centuries that was lit in a temple for for the goddess. And it's just gone on through the ages, and it's been a very primal thing. Humankind is very connected to the element of fire. It's very illuminating. It's very healing. It's very inspirational, and it, of course, was used to light a fire and to cook with, to start with, and then it was used in the ancient temples, and then it's come down through the ages, and it's been used in modern day as candles in our home. You think of a fire in a fireplace, you think of a wood stove fire, and people are drawn to the element of fire, and candle magic is about using the power of fire as a way to manifest your intention. And it is not a Wiccan tradition. It is universal.
Right.
And
the churches,
all the traditions around the world, in the major religions and in spiritual traditions as well, fire is very important, and candles are lit for very special occasions. And people like candles. It's comforting. It can be for romance. It can be for, in before they had modern lights, people had to have candles to read by before they had kerosene lamps.
Absolutely. Now, tell me a little bit about your personal history with candle magic. When did you start using it, and how did it work for you?
Well, I started using candle magic in the 1970s, and I really got intrigued with the use of jar candles in the late 1980s, and I've been using some form of candle magic ever since. I was raised Roman Catholic, and I used to go into the church with my mother after Mass and light a candle. And then, of course, at birthdays were a very big deal, and there were many candles on the cakes of the people who were older in our families, and I loved to watch everybody blow them out.
And make a wish, right?
Oh, yeah, make a wish, you know, and it was a really important thing.
That's like a spell right there.
Yes, it was. Candle magic is simply about the power of your intention, focusing it through the use of candles to manifest your desire.
Absolutely.
And the basic bottom line of what it's about.
It's an excellent visual tool.
It is excellent. It's very good for somebody who's just learning to work with focusing their willpower and putting forth their desires with using candles as a focal, as a visual aid. And it's fun. It's fun. You know, the inner child in all of us loves the colors and the fragrances and the fire itself.
The wax.
And the wax,
yeah.
And the inscribing of the candles and everything that goes into it is so enjoyable to do.
Absolutely. Now, I know you teach classes in candle magic. Why don't you tell us, let's start with the basic preparation. What are the types of tools a person needs to do a magic spell?
Okay, well, first of all, you need candles.
Uh-huh.
You need something to inscribe the candle with. A nail is a very good thing to use. You need a type of oil to anoint the candle with. Herbs are nice, but they're optional. You obviously need something to light the candle with. You need a holder if you're using a candle that is not a jar candle. You need a safe place to set the candle, and fire safety is always extremely important with candle magic.
Of course.
So you want to make sure that you're setting it someplace where it's not near drapes, or children are going to knock it over, or anything of that sort.
Right. Do you recommend a certain altar or sacred space? Or
no, I am very, it's whatever the person is interested in using. An altar is perfect, but if you don't have one and a person is not pagan or they're a different, you know, they follow a different path than that, uh-huh. or they're just generally spiritual in nature, setting it in just a certain spot in your home that appeals to you is nice, too, with maybe a nice cloth underneath it and maybe a picture that you enjoy in front of it that means something special to you, like, say, a picture of some sort of divinity. If you were going to use an altar, you would use the four elements and put the candle on there and place the element of fire with, you normally have altar candles. You would use your candle for your candle magic instead. And so you want to always, but I do want to stress that about the safety of using candles, to really be careful and make sure you have, if you're going to use jar candles or any kind of a candle, that you make sure that it's in a place where you have water nearby. And a really good idea is putting it in a baking pan with some sand in the bottom.
That's very safe, right?
Mm-hmm. That's made out of metal. And then several inches of sand, and then put your candle holder and your candle in that.
Now, what would you use for the four elements on the altar?
You want to use something that is symbolic, or it can be an actual thing of the four elements. So for fire, you use a candle. For earth, you would use salt. That's very common. Or, say, a seashell, something like that. Or you could use crystals, rocks. Air, you could use incense. Feathers are good. That's another thing that's very commonly used. And water, you can use a container of water.
Why not, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's other things you can use as well, but those are most commonly used. Yeah.
Okay, now let's talk about dressing candles with oils. Why don't you tell us how that... it's almost like a ritual, right? It's a preparation.
It is. It's a nice way for a person to calm down and focus themselves and center their energies before they light the candle. And dressing the candle is a way, first of all, you have to cleanse the candle. So if it is like a wax candle, beeswax, any kind of a candle, even a jar candle, you want to run it under some cool water, or you want to smudge it. And sage is usually the best thing to smudge with, although you can use cinnamon, just household cinnamon.
Uh-huh.
You just pile it up in a little pile and light it and run your candle through that. Just hold it over and roll it around and through the smoke and cleanse it. Then you take your oil, and depending upon what you're doing, there's different types of oils. But a general one you can use for everything is olive oil.
Oh, okay.
You can just take olive oil, and if you're using like a pillar candle or a taper candle, you would start at the center and take the oil and go clockwise around of the candle, halfway up, halfway down, and go out from the center outwards, and then from the center downwards.
Perfect.
And that's how you dress the candle and turn the candle clockwise as you're doing that. Another easy way to do it is you can, if you want to send something away from you, you would go from the base of the candle up to the tip with the oil, and if you want to bring it, draw it down to you, you would do the opposite, but go clockwise.
Always clockwise.
Yes, and as you're doing that, you focus on what your desire is of why you're going to burn the candle.
That's the key, right?
Yes,
there.
So you're putting your energy into that candle.
Building a thought bubble, right?
Yes, you are. That's correct.
Okay, now let's get into an actual spell. Why don't we start with a love spell? That's very common. That's what a lot of people want. So take us through your basic love spell.
Okay, what you would do is you would use the color of pink if you want to manifest love. And you would, a good herb for that would be your rose petals or rose buds. And if you want to really experience the working with herbs, you could take a little mortar and pestle and grind them up. And then you would take your candle and put your oils on them, rose oil, and then roll the candle in that. And then you can burn it. And if you don't want to do that and you have a jar candle, you'd put it into the top of the candle. Just a small amount.
Just a bit.
Doesn't take a lot. And then you would, some things that are good visual aids to use as well would be rose quartz to draw love to you. If you have something that's a symbolic like a heart, pictures of hearts or pictures of a couple happy or something of that sort and put with the candle, by the candle, that kind of thing. You could draw a heart on the candle. That's called inscribing the candle, and you draw your name on there as well.
Your name.
Your name.
Okay.
You don't ask magical ethics. You don't ever ask for a specific person, because if that is not the person you're to be with, it'll backfire on you.
Right.
And it's just a lot easier not have to go there to begin with.
That makes sense.
So you ask for the best person possible for you. You know, just you have to, person needs to write the request themselves. Really sit down and think it through carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And then you write that out and you put it underneath your candle.
Okay.
And you write it 9 times with an arrow pointing to, put your name on there 9 times, the arrow underneath it, and then what you're asking, and then put it under the candle, and always ask for this or something better.
Ah, that leaves it open, right?
It leaves it so divine spirit, God, goddess, whatever belief system you're working with, can bring the best possible outcome for you. And then you light your candle, and you hold your candle, and you do what's called charging it. And you hold it, and you put your energies into it, and you think of the qualities of what you want in a person that you really like. So it's really important to figure all this out first.
Right, I can see that.
Uh-huh. And then if you want to do a spell, like writing something, write it in rhyme. So it doesn't, you don't have to be a perfect poetic person to do it. You just sit down and just start writing something. Keep it simple and just keep maybe just a few lines and that's enough. And then you can put that, you can chant that out loud and that works very well several times. In magic, 3, 6, or 9 times are the times that you use.
Okay.
And then you would do this on a Friday, because Friday is Venus's day.
Mm.
And if you want to manifest love, you would want to do that. I like to do candle spells at the new moon, because that is when things are waxing and gaining in power.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
The energy is going upward.
Yep.
Now, what does he tend to need to visualize a man or a woman? Can you put a picture out of a magazine or something, or is that just not a good idea?
You could do that, but I wouldn't really suggest it.
Okay, so no visualizing.
I would
no
really focus on the qualities that you want to draw into your life.
Right.
And always ask, this is something better, and then in the name of divinity, whatever your divinity is, whether it's God, goddess, Buddha, you know, whatever it is, and then ask. And then when you're done, you do your spell, then let it go.
I see.
And turn it over and so it can manifest. Otherwise, it interferes.
Okay, you have to release it.
You have to release it and let it go. And then trust that it will come in the right timing. And then it comes in natural ways.
Okay. Now, do you burn the candle all the way down, or what if
yes.
it goes out?
You burn it all the way down
mm-hmm.
until it's done. Now, if that's like a taper candle, burn it in one setting. Now, if you want to do it for several nights, what you could do is you can notch the candle, just draw a line horizontally across
mm-hmm.
it, and then burn it down to that point. Another type of a candle you can use is you can use a 7-day knob candle
sure.
and burn that down, or you can take a jar candle and burn that and just let it burn all the way down for the 7 days.
Okay, and what if the flame goes out quickly?
The flame goes out quickly, then there's not enough energy behind it at that time. It's weak.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
wait a little while before
right.
you light another one.
So each step that you do in the ritual is building like another brick, right, in the wall?
It's like cooking, or it's like
right.
carpentry. You know, you just get all your ingredients together, and then you assemble it. And I always like to suggest to people that if you really are interested in doing this on an ongoing basis, to gather your supplies together and keep them in a cabinet, a drawer, a shelf, somewhere that you can go and get them quickly and easily and do your candle magic.
Okay.
You don't have to go hunt for things.
Right, and a lot of this, it sounds like you can get just right at the supermarket. I mean,
you can get everything at the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
You really can quite easily. Some of the basic herbs are basil, and that is for prosperity. Cinnamon is for protection, and of course, rose petals. You can't really get that at the supermarket too easily, but you can
mm-hmm.
get them out of your garden.
Sure.
Or from a friend's garden.
A park or something. Sure, they're all over the place.
Right, they are. They're very easy. Lavender is very easy to obtain. The Wishing Well in Vancouver has herbs for doing candle magic, and they have a good supply of them there. And what else did I want to say to you about that? And then rosemary is an excellent herb for a person who's going to school and you're going to be studying for a test. You would want to light a yellow candle and burn it on Wednesday.
Okay.
And use rosemary, rosemary oil, or rosemary herb.
What would you sprinkle the herb around the candle? Or?
Well, if it's a taper candle,
mm-hmm.
you want to take it and put the olive oil on it first, and mm-hmm. then roll it. Grind your herb up really well. That's where mortar and pestle is very helpful.
Okay.
And then roll your candle in it lightly, and then burn it.
That really infuses it.
Yes,
that
it does.
Energy.
Oh, yeah, it sure does.
And where did these recipes come from? Is this just kind of tradition, or...?
These are things I picked up looking at books over the years,
mm-hmm.
and then I have used these. I've done these different things myself. I have traditionally used colored candles, and the colors are your gold for the sun, for Sundays, which is for... if you want to improve health, it's very good for business success. It's good for overall improvement of your life. These are just quick run-throughs.
Absolutely.
Sunday.
Sure.
And then Monday is the moon's day, and that's good for improving domestic concerns, women's issues, home and hearth. And you'd burn a white candle or a blue candle.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesday would be Mars Day. That's for matters involving where you need to move things quickly. You would use a red candle.
Okay.
And Wednesday would be your yellow, and that's Mercury's Day, and that's for communications and studying. And then Thursday would be... Thor's Day or Jupiter's Day, and that is a purple candle. And in other traditions, they use a green candle, and that's for matters of prosperity. And if you're using a purple candle, that is for psychic development and for empowerment. Friday's love,
mm-hmm.
and you use your pink candle. You could also use red candles for that. Saturday is for banishing old conditions or strengthening oneself. And Saturday is you would use a dark brown, dark blue, or a black candle. And then Sunday, we're back to Sunday again.
Well, that covers it all.
Yeah, kind of does.
I didn't realize how important the days were. Okay, now, after the love spell, I guess another most common spell would be a money spell or a prosperity spell. So why don't you take us through that one?
Okay, so you would get, we had discussed the days of the week, so you would go to Thursday, and you would get a green candle. You would burn it on Thursday. You would use basil oil or basil, the herb, which is really easily obtainable.
Sure.
You would write at your request your name nine times, an arrow pointing down, and then your request, fold it towards you, put it under your candle, then light your candle.
Okay. Now, should you be real specific, like name a money amount or just leave it open?
If you have a bill coming due, mm-hmm. that's where a smaller taper candle is handy,
okay.
the small ones, and you need the money right away, name the amount, this
okay.
or something greater.
Okay.
And then light it. Another thing that's really good for that is to write a check out to yourself at the new moon and wait 24 hours till the moon's a little bit towards the crescent, and then write out the amount you need, and then put Law of Abundance at where you would sign it, and then put
okay.
your name as the person it's paid to, and then put the amount in.
It's a funny thing because we're always taught we have to work hard to earn money, but the universe doesn't really care, does it, whether or not we earn it or we ask for it. I mean, we just kind of plug it in.
Well, the thing is to realize in a metaphysical sense that money comes through people, places, and situations,
mm-hmm.
but it comes from divinity. It's everything is a channel. And the more we are open to the bounty of the universe, the more we're open to universal abundance. And by abundance, I mean on all levels in our lives, open and loving, the more that the good can flow into us.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask an ethical question. Let's say there's three people up for a job interview. Can you ask to get that job, to manifest that particular one, or how would you work that?
What I would do is I would light the candle, you know, do the steps we had gone through, get your green candle, light it after the new moon, and if you need to get a job right away, don't wait for the new moon. Light it when you need. I mean, this is practical.
Mm-hmm.
And ask for the right job for yourself, the qualities you want in the job. You could ask for the job, but if you're going to do that, qualify it with this or something better.
Better. Then if someone else is meant for it, then
right.
that opens the door that they can have
right.
it, you get something better.
Right, exactly. Because you don't want to put out energy to have it backlash on you either. So
no.
it's always important to qualify it.
Okay, that's kind of your out clause then.
Yeah, no, that's really important. It is an important part, just like the fire safety is as
mm-hmm.
well. And another thing, when you put out a candle, if you're burning a candle where you've got it notched or a seven-day candle
mm-hmm.
that's a knobbed candle, you want to either lick your fingers and put it out and snuff it out that way, or use a candle snuffer, because some people believe that you are insulting the fire elementals if you put it out by blowing it.
Uh-huh. I've heard that. Right.
Yeah, and you'll run across that in reading. There's a lot of books out on candle magic, and that's kind of a common thing. And so I've used one of the two ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used different sizes of candles, too. We didn't really talk about that.
No, tell me about that.
Yeah, oh my goodness. You can use everything from a birthday candle, depending upon whatever you have on hand, if it's something quick. But, of course, imagine that that's not going to be quite as potent if it's a small, unless you have it really focused with your intention really strong.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger the candles, the longer the requests.
Okay, now, while the candle is burning, should you sit there and kind of watch the flame and visualize? Or
No, I don't teach that.
No?
Some people might want to meditate on a candle, and I would put that in a different place. I don't teach it that way. Mm-hmm. What I teach is you light the candle, you focus your request, then you go away. Now, if it's a 7, and let it stay burning till it goes out. If it's a, you know, like a taper candle. If it's a 7-day candle, it's a bit different because you would come back each day and state your request again and kind of not meditate exactly, but just kind of spend a few minutes just thinking, standing from the candle or sitting from the candle, focusing on what your desire is again.
Mm-hmm.
Until the, you know, and do that each day.
Okay.
Now, you can also take candles and you can set them up on an altar or a table, and you can put them, they're away from one another, and you can move them towards each other kind of thing to manifest something. Or you can take a candle like a zodiac candle, which is a candle of somebody's sun sign, and then a candle of what they're seeking, which might be money, love, health, I know I'm missing one in there, and then move the two together.
Move them closer and closer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Until they finally touch. And that's another school. There's different types of candle magic. I believe in keeping it simple.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about if you want to make something or someone go away. What type of spell would you do for that?
Well, you would take a 7-day candle or a taper candle. You would write on there your name, and you would put in the center of the piece of paper, and you would draw arrows out to the four directions. Put that, fold that away from you, put it under the candle. You would light a black candle because black is banishing.
Mm-hmm.
And black is not necessarily evil because people go, oh, a black candle, oh my God.
Right.
And you would burn it on Saturday, Saturn's day.
Okay, so the black one would release a person out of your life and
yes.
wish them well, but
yes,
you release
right.
them.
And always ask for them to be released to their greater good elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask that they be sent away from you with harm to none and good to all.
Okay. Now, should you burn a white one with a black one or just a black one?
Well, there again, it's different schools of candle magic. Some people believe if you use a black candle, you should burn a white candle right along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And on some altar setups, you will have a black candle and you will have a white candle set up anyway on the altar. So it's really a matter of preference. If a person is uncomfortable using a black candle, you can use a white candle as well. It never hurts. White candles contain all the colors, and it is a good color to work with, to start with, if you're uncertain about using a specific color. And you could always use a white one and just ask for a blessing for that person to be sent away or, you know, for your condition to... But with no harm done to anybody. You don't want to be doing anything negative because
exactly.
it comes back on you.
Times three, right?
Because I do not teach that. It's not my path.
No. And the one primary color I don't think we covered was orange. Can you tell me about orange?
Oh, orange is a really good color for sociability. If a person is kind of withdrawn and they want to learn to become more outgoing and to get out and mix with people, an orange candle is excellent for that. It's very, very good. So encourages friendliness and sociability.
Okay, now if you've done a love spell or a money spell, let's say on a taper candle, do you do it just once or should you do it every couple of days?
No, you just want to do it once and wait and see what happens. And then if you need to, repeat it.
Okay, so you play it by ear.
Exactly. I use my intuition, and I know it's hard for people that are beginning with this because they want a certain set of rules because they're not sure of what they're doing with it. But listen, what I say to people is listen to your intuition on it, but give it about a week or two and see what happens. And then if you don't have the results you want, then burn another candle.
Okay, now let's say someone's unemployed and they do a spell to get a job. Now, should they go ahead and take action? Is that the other big part
of
it?
Yes.
Just go
definitely.
Out in the world and take action?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. That's really important. Candle magic only goes so far. because that's a focusing of your intent and sending the energy out into the universe for manifestation. A person still has to follow it up with action because we have free will and we're still expected to do our part. Mm-hmm. And together it makes a very powerful combination. And with doing candle magic, most of the time, unless there's a higher reason and it's blocked by divinity, things will manifest usually quite smoothly and much quicker than they would if you do it without.
Right, and if you're sitting on the couch, you're telling the universe, well, I really don't mean it, right? I mean,
well, yeah, it's like, just bring it to me. Well, it's a partnership.
Sure.
It really is a partnership. It needs to be your divinity and yourself, and each of you have your part, and you've asked divinity to do the part with the candle, with sending the energy out, and then it's up to the person to follow that up with action towards that. So if it's love, to, you know, get involved with maybe a singles group or whatever the person can do, go to parties that people invite them to, or, you know, get out and be sociable, to meet people, to find a prospective mate, or take classes, that's a good way to meet people, or whatever, but to take some action. And if it's health, go to the doctor. Don't wait for a candle to solve your problem.
Yeah, why don't we do a spell for health-related issue?
Okay, for health, you'd want to use a white candle, and you want to light or a... a white candle is probably the best. Light it on a Sunday because that's the sun and that's for health. And I use the eucalyptus oil. And I put that, or you can use eucalyptus leaves. And there again, grind them up in a mortar and pestle and then coat your candle lightly with your olive oil and then roll it in it, or just use your eucalyptus oil. And if you're using a 7-day candle, you can get candles that are health candles or just use a white one, and you put your eucalyptus oil in the top, and you can take a long nail and just poke holes all the way around the inside of the candle, and then pour a little bit of the oil down in those little holes. And then as the candle burns down, the oil is still, you know, powerful and effective. So it keeps the energy of it going longer.
Hey, I was just thinking how many people have poor eyesight, and I know I do. What would you do for, like, to improve eyesight with a white candle? What would you write on there?
Well, just what you said.
Uh-huh. Better eyesight?
Have your eyesight, better eyesight.
Okay.
Yes, and then if you work with, if you're inclined towards working with deity, then a saint for that is Saint Lucy, who is the patron saint of eyesight, of the eyes and eye problems, and you can call on her and ask for help. In that case, you go get a little card and a little medallion, and you put the card in front of the candle, and that's what you do if a person's like been raised with Roman Catholicism, for instance. If they're pagan in orientation, they could put a picture of a goddess or god up there that represents that to them, healing, and so on.
Okay. And do you ever call upon the archangels during?
Oh, I certainly do. I work with all of them. Archangel Raphael is the one you call on for healing. And you can ask for a band of healing angels to be sent to you. Ask him directly. Mm-hmm. Call on, you know, your divinity. But Archangel Raphael, and he is the angel of healing, and he's the one I would ask for help with whatever your ailment is.
Right, and the other three archangels are then Michael, Gabriel.
Well, there's four. There's more than that.
Quite a few battalions of them.
Oh, yes, but if a person is having some issues, say, with a... Oh, I don't know, and they're having problems with a domestic dispute, and they've left their mate or something, and there's domestic violence issues or something, they can call on Archangel Michael and ask him, candles or no candles, and ask for help, mm-hmm. for protection. And Archangel Michael is the archangel who is assigned to the earth to protect the earth, And you can visualize him with a mighty flaming sword and dressed in red robes. And his energy is incredible. And you can also ask him to keep the people away that are harassing you. He's just a fantastic angel. And Archangel Gabriel is seen as an angel of relationships. And so that's another archangel you could call on in general for help with emotional issues is Archangel Gabriel.
Okay. And then what about Uriel?
Uriel, you call on Uriel for matters having to do with earthly concerns. He's an angel of the north, and so it would be anything that has to do with that direction, which is the earth. And so that's what you would call on him for. And then it goes on from there.
I know.
There's archangels that go to all the planets, so and so on.
The big family. So tell me a little bit, maybe without mentioning names, but some clients that have come to you and some types of candle spells you've done with them.
Oh, boy. Well, it's been largely through my classes that I have done and then just over the years. I've had people who needed protection, whatever it may be from, and the psychic or the material level, it didn't matter. I would work with them, and I had them get an Archangel Michael candle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had them call on Archangel Michael. I had them use the color red. I had them do things like burn cinnamon and scent their house inside and set up a altar and put a white candle on there. Depending upon their spiritual persuasion, something that represents something holy to them on their altar, or if they're not into altars, some kind of a sacred space of some sort. And that really made a difference. First of all, the person was able to get to sleep because they were really having troubled dreams. The person they were having problems with went away and didn't bother them anymore. But this took a little time. It didn't happen instantly.
Sure.
Let me see. With healing, the person was able to heal faster. It's been things like a person who come to me who had problems, you know, with their health and surgery was indicated. Well, I still advise people to go to the doctor. It's never that. Along with it, they can, you know, to light the candle for health, and I've had people do that, and that has, if nothing else, it's helped them to feel calmer and not so afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So they could relax more to allow the healing into their lives.
I'm sure you've used them all throughout your life.
I've used candles.
Situations.
I mean, like I said, I was raised with Roman Catholicism, so I was lighting candles when I was little, and Dad and my parents made big deals out of birthdays. And I've always loved candles, and I like to just burn candles in my home because I like candles.
Sure.
And I love fireplaces and wood stoves and bonfires and anything that has to do with the element of fire like that.
So that really covers it quite well. How can people get in touch with you for maybe a phone consultation or to visit you up here in
the best way right now is to call Celestial Awakenings, which is in Vancouver, Washington, or the Wishing Well. And at this point, I'm generally there 2 days a week at Celestial, and I am at the Wishing Well 1 day a week on Fridays. And call and book an appointment. Is probably the best way right now to get a hold of me.
Do you want to give out a number?
Pardon?
Do you want to give out a number?
Just the
name of the store, then they can look it up.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, we'll do it that way for them.
Celestial Awakenings or Wishing Well.
Right.
And before I let you go, I know you know a lot about herbalism. Can you tell us about some basic herbs you can use around your house and some helpful ideas?
Well, I'd say lavender is really, really excellent. That's one that's a good one to have. You can put that, add that into your bath water in a little sock, or you can put it by your pillow at night, or lavender oil for free relaxation and sleep. That's very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of the main ones I would suggest. Sandalwood is an herb that is good to burn like an incense form. It's very uplifts the energies, the vibrations in your home. Sage, of course, is always good for smudging and clearing and cleansing. That's one I always have around me. And then eucalyptus, I will put into a vaporizer and just, or a pot on the stove on very, very low heat, or one of those little burners for oils that you can buy. When during the winter months, another thing I like to use is like fir oil or one of those in the winter time. Bayberry is nice, that type of thing.
Eucalyptus is good for breathing and
oh, it's wonderful. Yes, eucalyptus for health things, cinnamon for protection, and I like to use rosemary just because it's nice. I like the smell of it really, really well.
Very earthy.
Yeah, and I'm not a patchouli fan.
It's
so
different. It's kind of exotic. Right. And then what's the ylang ylang? That's another one.
Ylang ylang.
Yeah. There's many exotic ones.
You have to really like that one to want to use it a lot. It is. It uplifts a person's moods, and it's very good for people who have suffer from depression.
Okay. Along with citrus, I found.
Citrus
lemon,
is
lemon
the
is
all-time
nice.
Best one. Is the citrus oil, yes, for depression. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Kathy, and I really enjoy all of your knowledge. And just one more time, just give out the name of the shops you work at, and we'll talk to you another time.
Okay, I work at Celestial Awakenings in Orchards, Washington, which is Vancouver. And I work at Wishing Well, which is in Vancouver, Washington, as well. And I'm going to be at a psychic fair at the Village Pearl on December 1st. And I am also have classes coming up at Celestial Awakenings. You can look at the information online on the 4th of December and the 11th on psychic protection. And then in January, I have a class on the 5th of January, which is a Saturday, on the basics of candle magic. And on the 7th, I am starting a class on the four elements at Wishing Well. It's a four-part class. And then in February, I am doing in bulk candle magic on the 1st of February for in bulk. And then I am starting a class on the 8th of February on the Wheel of the Year.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a full schedule, and I really appreciate you dropping by tonight.
Well, I enjoyed it very much.
Take care. Good night.
Okay, good night.
Good night. And that was Kathy Logan of Vancouver, Washington, and we have about 10 or 15 minutes left, so we'll just go over some of the news of the day and talk about all the things in the news, actually. There's so much going on, of course. I'm going to cover... So I'm actually producing my third DVD. It's called Mystery Islands, and that will be out fairly soon, within a month or two. I'll be letting you all know. And it covers Nan Madol, which is a very mysterious island in Micronesia, and a very strange island in Canada known as Oak Island, with some buried treasure that dates back to the Knights Templar and the Freemasons. So that's why it's called Mystery Islands, and I taped it last week. It's in the process of editing. We're adding pictures. And then that will be out soon. But my first and second DVDs are available. Just go to the BBS main page, click on Odyssey, and you'll see a cover of The Temples of Stone, my second DVD. And if you want it, email me. And for $20, I'll shoot it out to you. I use PayPal, and we'll do it that way. So I want to talk about mysterious creatures tonight, actually. I've been doing a lot of research about the underworld and mythical creatures, and I'm just writing some articles, so I kind of want to go through that in my time remaining. And let's start with the Jersey Devil. A lot of you on the West Coast probably have never heard of the Jersey Devil, but those of you in the New York, New Jersey area know quite a bit about it. So I'll read you this little article, and then I'll comment. There are many different tales and legends surrounding the mysterious Jersey Devil. The sightings of this strange creature stretch back for several hundred years in and around the pine forests of New Jersey. And most people think of Jersey as kind of a suburbs of New York, but really there's quite a bit of forest land. It's quite remote in many parts of New Jersey, and that's where many of these sightings are of this strange creature. So many of the legends refer to a woman named Mrs. Leeds, who either curses her baby and the child is transformed into a creature with horns, a tail and wings, and the head of a horse, so a very bizarre hybrid that I talk about so much in Ancient Mysteries, just like those strange hybrids back in Egypt, you know, that they were worshiping. And the wooden cottage of the Leeds family still stands in the Pine Lands to this day. You can actually go there and see it. It's very run down, but it's still there. A naval commander named Stephen Decatur shot a cannonball at the Jersey Devil in the 1800s, but it did not appear hurt. It's almost like the cannonball went through it, and it continued to fly away. The brother of Napoleon, Joseph Bonaparte, reported seeing the creature during hunting trips in the early 1800s. But the greatest sighting occurred in 1909, when witnesses saw a flying creature with glowing eyes fly down the street. Many others saw it as well, and reported that it made a loud screaming sound. The next day, almost every resident of Burlington, New Jersey, had hoof prints in their yard. These strange prints went up the side of trees and onto rooftops. And by the way, these sightings terrorized this area for 5 days, 5 solid days. There were all of these strange hoof prints everywhere and sightings in many small towns. It really cemented the legend of the Jersey Devil, and that was in 1909. You can still see newspaper accounts of that. So later the same week, eyewitnesses got a very close look and described the Jersey Devil as 3.5 feet high, with back legs like a crane, but with horse's hooves. The being had large wings and a head like a horse and a long tail. This type of description is quite reminiscent of the strange hybrids written about in ancient Egypt and Sumeria, and may be confirmation that these types of beings have existed for a long time, and perhaps more in the underworld, which we know very little about, even to this day. We know very little about the caves and the caverns that honeycomb all throughout the United States and the rest of the world. There have been other major sightings during the 1950s and 60s, and oftentimes there are reports of the Jersey Devil raiding farms and killing dogs, cats, and birds. Even large German shepherds have been killed during these sightings. One last note is that in 1957, the Department of Conservation found a strange corpse with feathers and hind legs, but it was never identified. So now let's look at a similar being who made appearances in Puerto Rico, the Chupacabra. During the 1970s, there was a strange series of animal killings in Puerto Rico blamed on El Vampiro de Moca, which is possibly a type of vampire creature, or the killings were blamed on a satanic cult. This incident turned out to be only a precursor to a large wave of animal killings on farms all throughout the island in the early 1900s. The creature killed dogs, birds, horses, and many goats, leading to its nickname of Chupacabra, which means goat sucker in Spanish. All the animals had 2 or 3 small round incisions near their neck, and all of their blood was drained. There was generally no other type of mutilation. Later, these incidents were reported in other Latin American countries and in the U.S., specifically in North and South Carolina and Maryland. Many eyewitnesses have glimpsed this mysterious creature, which only ventures out at night, and have offered various descriptions. Some believe it's a lizard type of being with scaly greenish skin and spikes running down its back. It stands up on 2 feet and is about 4 feet high, able to hop around like a kangaroo. This frightening creature is described as having sharp fangs and a dog-like face. It makes a loud screeching sound, and many have reported a strong smell of sulfur around the Chupacabra. This type of odor may be an indicator that it is a creature of the underworld, where sulfuric fumes are common. So it's another unusual feature are the glowing red eyes that stand out at night. Some of the other descriptions resemble a wallaby or a dog that stand on its hind legs. This wild type of creature also has a pronounced spinal ridge with large teeth and claws. Occasionally, the chupacabra will try to attack humans, and the terrified victims report that it resembles a gargoyle with glowing red eyes. So it's really interesting, the similarities between the Jersey Devil and the chupacabra. They make a loud screeching sound. They are these animal hybrids with different types of animals. They're not dissimilar. They have many, many things in common, and New Jersey is not that far from Puerto Rico. It's the same part of the world, although separated by ocean. And now this leads me to the Mothman, and listen to the similarities when I describe the Mothman between the Jersey Devil, the Chupacabra, and the Mothman. The entity known as the Mothman has similar features to the Jersey Devil, with glowing eyes, large bat-like wings, and the appearance of some type of animal-human hybrid. The Mothman terrorized the townsfolk of West Virginia during a 13-month period of 1966 and 67. The sightings actually started in 1922 and continue to this day, but the largest group of sightings occurred during the late 1960s. On November 15th, 1966, two couples were driving by an old military TNT factory near Point Pleasant, West Virginia. All four of them noticed two glowing red lights near the entrance gate and were shocked to realize that these lights were actually glowing red eyes belonging to a monster that was 7 feet tall with large wings on its back. They quickly drove off and reached a speed of 100 miles an hour, but the being chased them at 100 miles an hour to the city limits. The next day, a group of townsfolk came back with guns, and some of them also witnessed the entity with glowing red eyes staring at them. There were many more sightings by other law-abiding citizens who had no reason to lie or nothing to gain. As a matter of fact, they risked public humiliation when they came forward in some cases, like UFO sightings. Some reported a loud screeching sound from the Mothman and red eyes, similar to the Chupacabra. They continued until the collapse of the Silver Bridge in December of 67, which killed 46 people. Some have speculated that the Mothman shows up in the months preceding a tragedy, as he appeared to leave the town after the bridge fell. So those are three strange, mysterious creatures, and I'll give you more and more as I research my next DVD. So in just a few minutes remaining, I just want to remind everyone to go to a really great website called Infowars.com. It's Alex Jones, and Alex is kind of the Paul Revere of our time. Instead of saying the British are coming, he's really warning people about globalism and that secretive groups, powerful groups like the Bilderberg Group and the Council on Foreign Relations are coming, and they want a globalist world government, and they're doing it behind the scenes, and he's really sounding the alarm. And Alex Jones is almost a household name at this point. He gets tens of millions of hits on his website, and the media will never spotlight him, but he's clearly broken through a threshold here. And I really encourage all of you to get your news at prisonplanet.com or infowars.com. He has a really important article this week about families, parents who were bringing their children to school, and they were almost forced to have their children vaccinated. And they were not told that they even had the right, that it was an option to decline a vaccination. And as many of you know, there's been a high incidence of autism occurring with people being vaccinated with mercury and other foreign substances. And we don't know definitively if there's a link, but it's certainly very, very suspect. So there's a really good headline article today about, it's really scary, about government officials forcing parents to vaccinate and their children and intimidating them and threatening them with going to jail. This is really almost like a police state, like 1984, and it's really happening. I'm not making this up. It's one of the headline stories. His new DVD is called Endgame. It's about the globalism and the elite. You got to see it. It's 2 hours. It's free. And the internet, just type in Endgame, go to Google or Yahoo and type in Endgame, and you can watch it for free. He's very generous giving things out for free. And in 2 weeks from now, my show is twice a month, just so you know. It's the first and third Monday. I have a very fascinating author named Michael Tellinger. He's coming on. He's going to lay out the whole story about the Anunnaki, the ancient astronauts who came to this planet according to the Sumerian clay tablets thousands of years ago. You know, all of the ancient cultures around the world, the Chinese, the Indians, the Greeks, the Romans, all the way down the line, they all believed in a pantheon, a whole family of gods who used to rule over this planet. And we're going to explain where this pantheon and these beliefs came from. He's going to explain why gold has always been so important. He's from South Africa. He grew up around the Zimbabwe mines. It turns out these mines are over 100,000 years old, and he's also a geneticist. So he is the perfect guy to write an amazing book. It's the best book I've ever written have ever read in my life. It's called Slave Species of God, and he puts the God with a lower G, not the God of the universe, but the lower gods who used to be on this planet. So once again, it's Michael Tellinger. It's called Slave Species of God, and I will interview him in 2 weeks. So please come and join me in Odyssey on December 3rd and listen to this very important interview. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Take care and good night.
Upon a time in a land not so far away, there was a little girl growing up in a world that wasn't so safe. So we taught her all about Cinderella, and we told her that sugar-coated lie from the TV lights. They get underneath the dormitory lights. Well, nothing here in Wonderland feels quite right. She's those to be slippers and a boost up her mind. Well, as a sweet girl, you'll be just fine. Fine.